Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Freestyle Friday upon us, so we will get right into it, all of it as we always do. Biden's CDC decides that boosters should happen for a whole lot of folks, not just those at high risk, those who are in certain professions, millions and millions of people. Basically, we're all going to be told to get boosters. It's just a matter of when, and we'll get into that with you in a moment. Plus, Commander-in-Chief lies about members of Border Patrol using whips on migrants during his speech this morning. You got hospitals bracing in New York for a vaccine or get fired deadline. What's going on there? And who feels less safe when they see cops? We have that information for you, which that data, I think you'll find it particularly interesting. But I've known Mike Lindell for years, and there's a reason why MyPillow, the company that he invented and created, has become so wildly successful and has helped so many people get the best sleep of their lives. I've got a MyPillow, actually two of them, on my bed right now. I've got the Giza Dream Sheets. I have three pairs of Giza Dream Sheets. I've also got the MyPillow Mattress Topper. I've got the My Slippers. I am basically constantly outfitted when I'm sleeping, lounging, chilling out, with MyPillow. You should be too. Listeners like you have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. Mike wants to give back to all of you. You can get great discounts on MyPillow products by going to MyPillow.com right now and clicking on the Radio Listener Special Square. You'll see rotational offers up to 66% off products like their pillows, mattress topper, and Giza Dream Sheets, but also new products like the slippers, weighted blankets, robes, waffle blankets, and more. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Enter promo code BUCK for these great radio specials. That's promo code BUCK when you go to MyPillow.com and you click on the Radio Listener Specials square. Biden gave a speech on COVID this morning. Not a lot said that would be of great surprise to anybody. The biggest news item from it is, well, that he wants people to be able to get boosters well beyond just the initial. Let's just say it. The CDC has overruled the recommendation panel and the FDA on this one. That's where this is. That's the situation. Backing it for high-risk adults workers and the elderly. Here's the story from Reuters. U.S. Centers for Disease and Control on Friday backed a booster shot of Pfizer for Americans 65 and older, adults with underlying medical conditions, and adults in high-risk working and institutional settings. The decision by CDC Director Walensky is aligned with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorization of the shot earlier this week. Follows, here's the part they are less interested in telling you. Walensky's decision broke from a recommendation on Thursday by a group of outside advisors to the agency, who said that a narrower group of people will be helped by the shot. The CDC director is not obliged to follow the advice of the panel. Oh, that's right. The CDC director is not obliged to follow the panel. I said, when they initially turned it down, I said they're going to make you get the boosters. Remember this? I told you they're not going to. This was just a head fake. This was stopping the boosters from being obviously put forward as quickly as they possibly can because of the massive vaccine failure situation. I told you this was happening a week ago. I thought it would be a little slower. I thought maybe 30 days they would say the boosters. But no, they have to get ahead of this. And here is Biden today talking about this decision.
Listen to the voices of the unvaccinated Americans who are lying in hospital beds, taking their final breath, saying, and literally we've seen this on television, if only I'd gotten vaccinated. If only. If only. They're leaving behind husbands and wives, small children, people who adore them. People are dying and will die who don't have to die. It is not hyperbole to suggest it's literally a tragedy. Please don't let this become your tragedy. Get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated. I'm leaning in. I'm getting kind of breathy, you know? Gonna start really getting up against the mic, giving you my beady eyes, looking right at you. Joe Biden's greatest talent is the utter shamelessness with which he poses as an elderly concerned neighbor in a blue-collar town who likes to whisper at strangers, despite spending 40 years sucking up to power inside the Beltway so he can travel back and forth between mansions. That's who Joe Biden actually is. We should be clear on that. I think we all are. It's absurd to watch him constantly try to give cover to the far left in this country and act like there is not a radical agenda afoot. But there is. And just back to the boosters for a moment. Today, the boosters are open to high-risk workers. I'm sure, by the way, if you want to get a booster shot, what are they going to do? They're going to check your profession? Basically, this creates a everyone can get boosters who wants to get boosters situation. That may not be the official guidance, but that's the way this is going to go. So today, the boosters are open to you. By November, they will be recommended for your use. By January, they will be mandatory. And by March, Biden will be saying anyone who hasn't gotten the booster is costing all of us and risking lives and being reckless. You see how this goes? You see how they play this game? Incrementalism. Once again, the same thing we've seen with everything else they've done. Incrementalism at every stage, at every phase. This is what they do with the COVID response. So you're the unreasonable one because they're just asking for 2 weeks, 2 months, just one shot, just two shots, just one mask, just two masks, just a little more, a little more. And at every stage, they look at you like, what do you mean? I'm not asking for that much. But when you look back on the totality of what they've done, it's an appalling assault on freedom. You can see it. It's obvious. Couldn't be more clear. And if you're wondering just how dishonest this administration is willing to be at this point, I think it would be hard to do a better job than Joe Biden in showing that dishonesty than when he decided to say the following about Border Patrol and the crisis at our border.
Of course, I take responsibility. I'm president, but it was horrible what to see, as you saw. To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. They will be, an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. There will be consequences. It's an embarrassment, but it's beyond an embarrassment. It's dangerous. It's wrong. It sends the wrong message around the world. It sends the wrong message at home. It's simply not who we are.
So much wrong in this statement by Joe Biden. There's so much that's untrue. There's so much that is appalling, quite honestly. First of all, the biggest lie, or the most obvious lie, is that anyone was, quote, strapped, that anyone was whipped. That did not happen. We know it didn't happen. It's clear it didn't happen. These facts are not in dispute. So why would the president of the United States go on TV and say that? Because he is pandering to the leftist crybaby, open borders, I hate Border Patrol base. That's what they're doing. That's what that is. There's no other explanation for it. He knows they weren't whipping people. But it's even worse than that because he says they will be held accountable. This is the head of the federal government without any inquiry or process whatsoever, prejudging members of Border Patrol who are already overwhelmed, who already have a thankless job in many respects because of all the leftists who really want open borders. This is the president saying, yeah, well, they're the bad guys, just so you know, and we're going to punish them. Appalling dishonesty from, but Joe Biden will say anything. The biggest lie of all when it comes to Biden is that he's a well-intentioned old guy just trying to do his best for America. That's all an act, folks. Biden is a slippery, dishonest, self-dealing, ruthless Democrat politician, just like the rest of them. But he's learned this act over 40 years. Here I am, you know, sitting at the kitchen table with the folks, and you just got your lunch pail out, and you're looking at each other, you know. How am I gonna save, you know, 2 bits when I go get a couple pounds of hamburger meat at the store? I lost my coupon. You know, I'm sitting there with the wife. The wife, of course, wearing an apron, but she could be wearing her robes from her PhD graduation because, you know, believe in equality, but also want to pretend I'm traditional, you know? All this stuff. And people sit there and say, oh, Joe Biden, he can't be that radical. Joe Biden's a guy we can trust. They're wrong. And the Democrats are lying all over the place about the border in general, too. I mean, here's a perfect example of it. Sheila Jackson Lee, who is a member of Congress, this was earlier this week. This is her assessment. She's a Texas, so she's in the biggest border state. And she has an assessment of the border that is completely divorced from reality.
The narrative is that we have a human rights crisis at the border. I am a Texan. We have about 2,000 miles, a little under 2,000 miles of border. And most of that border is well protected with legal points of entry, and it operates appropriately. But what has happened is, because of the Trump relic of Title 42 and the demonizing of immigrants through our Governor Abbott, who's looking toward the next election, we can't seem to really know how to handle this surge. When you have a narrative of the largest deportation in months or years, that does not fit favorably. As the Homeland Security has said, the migrants are not national security threats.
The border is not even a little bit secure. One thing I want you all to remember is that while we're focused on Del Rio, which is now down to a few thousand people in that encampment, between 2,000 and 3,000 as of today, while we're focused on that, there is still a largely open border in the rest of the U.S.-Mexico corridor. People coming across every day, bringing in fentanyl, doing all kinds of things. I mean, there's the human smuggling networks haven't stopped elsewhere. This isn't the only place. This was just the most visible manifestation of what was essentially a caravan of Haitian migrants from South America who, for a number of reasons, decided that they thought they could get into the country and stay in the country forever. The biggest one being the Biden administration does not want to enforce immigration law, because here's what we have to remember, folks. Here's where we are. The Democrat Party truly believes not only that we should have an open border, but that illegal immigrants are the blameless best of humanity, just by virtue of the fact they're coming into America illegally. They're the best people. They're better than Americans of any race, creed, or color. They're better than all of us. Illegal immigrants from the third world are, they say this stuff. I mean, you'll hear them say it. They are the best Americans. Unless they were, in the eyes of AOC and the squad, if they were Israeli immigrants into America, that might be an issue, because it is quite clear that the squad just despises Israel. And I think we all know why. I think we see what do AOC and Rashida Tlaib and other members of the squad, Ayanna Pressley, when they look at Israel, what do they see? Right? Omar, what do they see? Ilhan Omar, that is. Well, they were very upset about funding for the Iron Dome in Israel. And I will say this. There is a very reasonable question to ask here, which is why is the United States funding the military operations in any capacity of any ally? I mean, we're not writing checks to the UK. We love the UK, right? We love Israel. Why are we writing checks for the Israeli army? I actually think that's a very fair question to ask. Or Israeli military in some capacity. They can fund it themselves. They got the money. They're good. Right? It's not like without our funding. Oh, no. But put that aside for a second. To me, the anti-Semitism at work here from the squad when it comes to they despise a purely defensive system that stops innocent civilians, Israeli and Arab, from being blown up. I'm sorry, when I say Israeli, Jewish and Arab Muslim. Inside of Israel proper from being blown up. That's what the Iron Dome system does. And the squad, because they are radical pro-Palestinian leftists, hates this idea. And here's Rashida Tlaib, who is, of course, of Palestinian descent.
I will not support an effort to enable and support war crimes, human rights abuses, and violence. We cannot be talking only about Israelis' need for safety at a time when Palestinians are living under a violent apartheid system and are dying from what Human Rights Watch has said are war crimes. We should also be talking about Palestinian need for security from Israeli attacks. The bill claims to be, quote, a replenishment for weapons apartheid Israel used in a crisis it manufactured when it attacked worshippers at one of the most holiest Islamic locations, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, committing, again, numerous war crimes. The Israeli government is an apartheid regime.
That's what I ask Rashida Tlaib. Do the Hamas terrorist community war crimes or no? She doesn't even talk about that. Doesn't even speak about it. Does Hamas community war? That's so strange. She pretty much entirely only focuses on one side of this. Almost like she's incredibly dishonest, wildly dishonest even. And yet here we are hearing from her and the squad as though some terrible situation has unfolded here because fewer Israelis will be subjected to the rockets and mortars of terrorist Hamas cells. I think we can all see what's going on here. Big tech monitors us, censors us, deplatforms us, and conservatives have been helpless to do anything about it until now. On Getter, you can talk with friends and family and express your political beliefs without fear of Silicon Valley liberals coming after you. Join Getter, the social media platform that supports free speech and opposes cancel culture. Getter is led by former Trump advisor Jason Miller, who saw what big tech did to President Trump and decided to fight back. Getter is the fastest growing social media platform in history, with over 1.6 million users and growing, including Mike Pompeo, Steve Bannon, and me, Buck Sexton. Join Getter. It's in the App Store, the Google Play Store, and at Getter.com. Longer posts, longer videos, sharper and clearer pictures. And unlike the Silicon Valley oligarchs, Getter will never sell your data. Send a message today. Join Getter. It's time to cancel culture. Go check out Getter. G-E-T-T-R, by the way. That's where you go for Getter. This is going to be interesting. I mean, everything we talk about here on the show is interesting, of course. But this is going to be interesting. NPR has this piece. Hospitals and nursing homes in New York are bracing for the possibility that a statewide COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers could lead to staff shortages when it takes effect Monday. Doctors and nurses and also support staff like food service workers and cleaners have been given until September 27th to get at least their first vaccine shot and one of the nation's most aggressive plans to protect patients. With just days left to go before the deadline, many still hadn't. That left the prospect of potentially thousands of healthcare workers being forced off the job next week. This is just in the state of New York, folks. But obviously a very large, very populous state affects New York City. Thousands of healthcare workers kicked out of their jobs. Now, wait a second. There's so much here, isn't there? There are so many things. It's almost like the media doesn't want you to think about this or talk about it. First of all, I thought I had it from so many really smart journos that the only people who don't want to get vaccinated at this stage are evil, reckless, illiterate Trump supporters with their MAGA hats on. I was told this so many times by the very smart journos at CNN, by the very smart journos over at the New York Times and MSNBC. And all the minorities in New York City, for example, were not getting vaccinated. We either don't talk about them, or if it's the liberal newspaper or website, TV channel that's involved, they will say something about, oh, well, it's okay for minorities to not trust the government on this. Oh, okay. That's interesting, right? That's an interesting double standard they've set up there. But you never hear about how all these doctors and nurses, hospital staff, administrative staff don't want to get the shot. And they can't deal with a very big problem that's a very big flaw in the logic here, which is they're going to tell you, oh, but they have to get the shot or else people will be at really high risk from being around them. How many nurses that have been on the job for the last 18 months do you think in a major hospital system have avoided getting in contact with COVID to the point where they would not have had some form of infection and have now antibodies and natural immunity against the virus? And what are the chances that you could have been a nurse dealing with COVID patients, a doctor dealing with COVID patients, and not have been exposed to this virus that, as we know, is incredibly transmissible? Right. So what they're really doing here is refusing to adjust the policy based upon the reality of science and hoping that everyone will just get scared and bend the knee to this. But it is an anti-scientific approach for the state of New York to have a mandate in place that will fire healthcare workers for not getting the shot when those healthcare workers are overwhelmingly protected with natural immunity. Overwhelmingly. And they should check and see. If they're unwilling to do that, and they are, it is just because they insist on a one-size-fits-all policy. They insist on pretending that what they're doing is rooted entirely in science and not in what they believe is political necessity and power, which is, I think, very discouraging, should be discouraging for the whole country, what we see going on here. What's going to happen with these hospitals and nursing homes in New York? I'm not sure. I would assume they're going to have to delay this ruling. Otherwise, they're going to have thousands of people that they need to be doing these jobs who aren't doing these jobs. But you see, if they bent the knee on this issue of natural immunity, then they'd be in a position where they'd have to bend the knee on a whole lot of other issues, too. Right? To a whole lot of other people, at least. Other folks would say, wait, why do I have to get the shot if I already had COVID? Oh, it's only for that science only applies to. It's not the science, friends. It's the politics. You see it. I see it. That's how you could have the CDC overruling the panel of experts about boosters. Oh, gee, what a surprise. Overruling the panel of experts exactly as I said they would. I mentioned this at the top of the show. I wanted to get to it because with the 30% increase in murders in 2020, which, as we all know, was the result of the Black Lives Matter movement's insanity and lies and the demeaning as well as defunding of police that occurred as a result of it. Who in just let's take one city. And I think this is particularly interesting when you look at this data. Detroit residents, most recent polling here, I think this is an Ipsos poll. If you ask Detroit residents whether increased police presence makes them feel safer, Detroit, as we know, has a very high crime rate. 42% say yes, 10% say no. Now, this is the really fascinating part of it. Whites are almost twice as likely as blacks to say it makes them feel less safe. And new residents, three times as likely as longtime residents. So people who move to Detroit, who are white, basically, are the ones who are predominantly saying, I get more scared when I see more cops. And it's not because they actually have had some experience with law enforcement that makes them frightened. It's because they are posing as these wannabe BLM revolutionaries on their social media. It's because defund police is predominantly a lifestyle liberalism virtue signaling preoccupation of upper middle class white people in America. That's who is pushing defund the police. It's people who live in safe neighborhoods who want to pretend they care so much about the plight of minorities in much less safe neighborhoods. And they want to both feel virtuous and be treated by their peers and their friends and neighbors as though they are virtuous because of this stance against law enforcement. Who wants to defund police? It's people like Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, who has an armed personal protection detail with him at all times. People like Nancy Pelosi, who lives in a palatial mansion that would make the Medici family blush. Renaissance Italy. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you see, and it's not surprising. If you thought this through, of course it's lifestyle libs who want police to be defunded. Of course it's people who don't actually deal with the consequences of these kinds of decisions. And that's exactly what we see playing out in the polling here. And they're hoping that they can continue to get away with this, that this nonsense will just be, I guess, ignored by most folks, most people. You know, they're not going to pay attention to the fact. Oh, by the way, Kamala Harris going to be on The View today, which is, is it the dumbest show on television? I think there's a strong case to be made that it's the dumbest. I think it's dumber than those shows where they even have, like, the people show up and the judge is like, you know, you get this and you get, you know, cut your garden hose in half and give him the half and yay, you know, like those kind of shows. I know some of you probably like the Judge Judy show. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm talking smack about the judge shows. But first of all, it's not even a real court situation. It's binding arbitration. It's a whole bunch of things that drive me a little nuts about it. But anyway, okay, if you like those shows, fine. I like some dumb shows too. But The View is a really dumb show. The View is a really dumb show. And Kamala Harris has time for it. I just think it's interesting. She apparently doesn't have much time to go deal with a border issue. No, she has time to be a celebrity. And we have really entered the era of, it used to be that politicians became celebrities. Now we see that celebrities become politicians. And that's the basis for the votes that they get, for the power that they have, is just cultivating a cult of celebrity around them. And yeah, of course, Donald Trump was a huge celebrity. And before, Ronald Reagan was an actor and a celebrity. But now you have people that the machine is turning into a celebrity and then telling everyone to vote for this person, right? That the machine of the Democrat Party is saying, here you go. This is the person you should vote for. Because they're well known, you say, wait, why is this person well known? Because CNN has decided it shall be so. Because the LA Times or the New York Times has, on the editorial pages, taken a big stand in support of this individual. Kamala Harris, no one likes her, really, from an electoral standpoint. I mean, she's not popular. She's not a politician that the American people have said, you know what, I think we should really give her more authority and more power. But those who believe that Joe Biden is just going to fade out and step aside, I think they're overestimating the integrity that both Joe Biden and the Democrat Party has. I honestly think that they would take Joe Biden, and I mean this, I believe this to be true. It's going to sound harsh. I think the Democrats would wheel Joe Biden out in a wheelchair in 5 years and have him, you know, drooling out of one side of his mouth and able to basically just mumble some things they write on the prompter for him. And they would say, what a great commander-in-chief he is. Isn't he fantastic? You know, that's how dishonest these people are. So don't expect them to become fair-minded about any of this. Don't expect that all of a sudden they'll be willing to tell you the truth about things. That's not going to happen. Please check out my Locals channel, bucksexton.locals.com. And also share this podcast. Continue to subscribe and listen here. As you know, I got two podcasts. We got the Clay Buck Show. We got this show. So this one comes out early, and you can listen to a quick rundown of everything from the day. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Thanks for being here. Talk to you on Monday. Shields high.
Born on America's darkest day of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays the mortgage on the family home to lift the financial burden. For severely injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. Through the Foundation's Homeless Veteran Program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless veterans. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. Because all veterans who honorably served, whether in peacetime or war, deserve our nation's gratitude. People who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.